So, I don't know where I should start. Maybe we should be a teensy bit formal at the start and get you to sort of introduce yourselves with a quick bio and anything you want to plug.
Yeah, sure. Oh, man, plugging. Wow. God. Oh, sorry. The dilation jokes just jumped to the forefront of my brain. Sorry.
Oh, right, yes.
Katie, can you remind me, is this specifically trans girls of a certain age deal or just trans girls?
I have to say my friend Jessie, who's only 38,
Phoebe.
yes, she took exception to the late in life transitioner idea that I had. It's
Okay.
not so much about age. It's
Sure.
about whether you have like a settled pattern of life in
Okay.
it, established, which then gets upended, I suppose. So it's not
Well
really
then,
about, yeah. So,
in that case,
and of course, Dawn is only 33
Oh
too.
yeah, definitely. I mean, and she lies about her age and says she's older. She's been doing it since she tried to get in clubs.
I've been
So
doing
my
it
name
for
is
years and
Miriam
it's worked.
Roburn. My name is Miriam Roburn. I've been in transition for almost 4 years. I've been on hormones for a little over 3 years. And I am coming to the end of transition, which is weird. But all of my major surgical and medical interventions are pretty much over. I'm recovering from the last one right now. And yeah, I'm facing down what happens after you're done transitioning. And all of my friends who have done that are saying that now I just live life, which is intimidating because I've never done that before. I've only masked and then I transitioned. So now I have to figure out what living life is like. But otherwise, I am a mom of two. I am happily married to my wonderful wife, Megan. We live in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. I think that's enough to start with. Ta-da!
Okay, Dawn.
What to say about me? My name is Dawn Secord. I have been transitioning, I guess, for the last 2 years actively. I realized I was transgender about 5 years ago, and it took me a little bit of time to figure out what I wanted to do with that information. And since then, I have kind of barrel rolled into being a woman full time. I am unlike Miriam, who is toward the end of medical transition. I'm just starting some of that stuff. And this year looks like it's going to be a big year for me. But for the most part, I'm just living my life. I don't really think about it too much unless I'm trying to be a project manager of how transition is. But for the most part, yeah, just a 54-year-old woman doing her best.
So just quickly, I don't want to dwell on such a depressing topic, but how are things going in Minnesota at the moment?
Oh.
Are there still Burger King stormtroopers all over the place?
Burger King stormtroopers is an apt description. I guess I think of it more as Wish brand cops. But Minnesota, I live in Minneapolis, and for those of you who are aware, Minneapolis was kind of a hotbed of ICE activity, immigration and custom enforcement activity here through beginning last summer. And it has been better. Things have calmed down quite a bit. Through December, January, and parts of February, it was very intense here. It was almost like a war zone. There were helicopters going around all of the time, and you'd hear the community response to ICE agents being spotted out in your neighborhood. And that has died down significantly, which has been nice. I think maybe some of us are lulled into sort of a false sense of security, or we think it might be, and so we're still kind of on edge. But for the most part, it's been really quiet, which has been nice.
Cool. So part of the inspiration for this came from something that Miriam wrote about a year ago.
Oh, shit.
And with her permission.
This is your fault. Not,
I think
it
I
usually think is, and it's usually I only find out later that it's my fault.
Okay.
Also, it is community radio. How? What language should we be using? Because I will curse like a sailor if I don't rein myself in.
I think it's relatively flexible, and if okay. It's not, I'm a dab hand at editing.
So okay. Good.
Feel free. If I may, Mimsy, read out a Fediverse post you made about a year ago, and on the condition that I don't attempt to do the accent. So what you posted was that my cohort of trans girls, the girls who transitioned about a year before or after I did, give or take, all seem to be looking, and I don't mean this disparagingly at all, so profoundly normal, just regular women. Half of them look a lot like the women I grew up around, my mother's friends, church ladies, teachers. Absolutely love to see it. And I was so struck by that because like a week or two earlier, I was at a thing where a guy in the room, very, very polite, lovely guy, I'm sure he didn't mean anything by it, he said, "Thing about all trans women is that they all seem to want to dress like Carmen Miranda." And I thought, I'm here in the room with you, a few feet away from you, in T-shirt and jeans. I mean, honestly, if Carmen Miranda ever looked like this, she really let herself go. And it just astonished me. How is it that you can be like right in front of somebody and they don't see the person, they just see the stereotype?
Yeah.
Have either of you experienced something in that vein?
Okay, so first I went to go look up Carmen Miranda really quick, and yes, I absolutely want to dress like this. I don't normally, but I would.
On a special occasion, yeah, I could absolutely see you rocking that.
And sometimes my special occasions are Tuesday.
Yeah.
So it's a common thing, and I really chalk this up to what that guy was saying was trans women who I can clock dress this way. Because I guarantee that dude does not know how many trans women he walks past every day. We are far more populous than people think we are. And after a certain point, a lot of us just blend.
Yeah.
There is a stereotypical how trans girls look. And what that is how trans girls look in the first year of transition. And people don't really understand that that's temporary.
Yeah, I feel like they kind of are conflating being transgender with people who are performing femininity, like drag. And I think that happens quite often, that people sort of conflate the two, that we are, that's what we're doing. And I've joked quite a bit that my whole aesthetic is Target mom. Right, I'm the girl that you see at the grocery store, and I feel like when people are baby transgenders or baby transes, that a lot of people are expressing, they're experimenting with their presentation the same way a teenager would, and it just looks kind of odd or out of place because they're thinking about they're thinking of that 35-year-old in front of them as if they're just a 35-year-old and already have figured their stuff out. But, you know, they're basically a teenager going through puberty and figuring out what they want to dress like, what they want their aesthetic to be. And it's not a permanent thing, like Mimsy said.
Yeah. And what works and what doesn't, how to actually pull things off. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of stuff that you learn and you don't just know it out of the gate.
Yeah. I mean, the teenager thing is an absolute key thing to get across to people, and I fail to all the time. I do tell people I'm a 55-year-old teenager, not just because of, hey, I've got a new set of hormones to play with, and isn't this fun? It's like I've lived my whole life thinking I'm going to do something remarkable sooner or later, but I just have to, something has to change first, and I didn't know what it was. But now, like with the clock seriously ticking, I feel like it's time to stretch my wings and be a full human being finally.
Yeah.
And it's an uncomfortable place to be in. And if people look at me and just assume that I have some sort of remarkably accomplished past, I'm sorry, they're going to be terribly, terribly disappointed.
Just lean into it. Tell them you do.
Yes, yes. Well, I mean, my aesthetic, by the way, is senior librarian, just a few days away from retirement, and about to get into terrible trouble.
Excellent. Librarian Corps is a fantastic aesthetic.
Yeah.
And the terrible trouble sounds like a lot of fun to me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Here's hoping. related to that, I don't know about you, but I had the most terrible trouble being comfortable with calling myself a woman. How did you find it, and what route did you have to take in order to make yourself feel comfortable with it?
Go ahead, Don.
I was hoping you'd go first. So for me, it was a therapy thing. It took me a while. Like, I remember 2 years ago on the International Women's Day that I was adamant that I was not a woman, that I was non-binary, or that I was trying to figure things out. And I had friends who were absolutely almost militaristic with me. They were very upset that I was trying to discredit myself. And it took me some time to realize that it took me a while to realize that feeling like a woman isn't some, like, the skies don't open up and the beams from the heavens shine down on you and say, oh, congratulations, you have achieved womanhood. I had a therapist say to me, what do you think a woman feels like? And I realized that, oh, crap, I am a woman because I'm a woman. Not that there's a feeling or anything special that's associated with that. I'm just a woman. And coming to that realization really helped me to embrace my womanhood. I'm a woman. Doesn't matter what anyone else says or what anything else. And even my brain sometimes is lying to me about those things. I know I'm a woman because I'm a woman because I'm a woman. There's no feeling. There's no special anything that should happen by that.
Mm. Yeah. So, Mimsy,
I did get the light from heaven and the, all of that that just told me.
Oh, okay.
No, I it is absolutely a thing that you come to slowly. It takes a lot of time. And for me, a lot of it was faking it until I make it, which is not how that phrase goes. but I was very adamant and very forward with making myself think that way. And mostly it worked. And I had good days and bad days, and increasingly more good days than bad days over time. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to tell this story. So I just had vaginoplasty, and the 3 days after, the night before the dressings were going to come off and I was going to see her for the first time, I could not get to sleep. And that's not normal for me. But when it happens, it's usually because something is processing. And I was raised evangelical. We're just going to detour slightly. And the worst thing that you can do or be when you are evangelical is wrong. You can't ever be wrong. You always have to be able to back out of whatever you are doing and say, oh, no, that wasn't what I really thought or believed. I'm going to be correct now, and please don't censure me out of the community. So I discovered as I was lying there in my bed, lying on my back, unable to move because you have to lie on your back all the time. I discovered in the back of my brain, there was this little piece of me that was freaking out because I couldn't take it back anymore. And obviously I could, but like it would be a lot harder now. And I had to just very delicately excise that little voice in the back of my head that was apparently holding on to some contingency plan that if I had to, I could go back on everything and go back to my old life or something. And since then, I haven't had any bad days.
That's amazing.
My experience was that was weird and unsettling because I thought I was past that. But yeah, it was 3.5 years into transition, almost four, before I got to that. So it can take some time.
And I don't want to just I don't want to dilute what Miriam just said, but for me, a lot of it was trying to go into women's spaces. Like, it occurred to me that I was a woman when I had to go get a mammogram. And I'm in a place that's a 100% women's space, and I had to get my brain into that. You belong here. You're a woman. That feeling. That feeling, thinking about what you just said about how there's you've got a contingency plan, and you sort of were thinking like, I could back out of this at any time, and I could just go back. I think that's a thing that a lot of us do sort of hold on to.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the time, especially if I'm in a bad mood, if I've had a bad day and I'm walking home from somewhere and I'm really grumpy, I think, oh, life just sucks. What am I doing? I'm fooling myself. Whatever it is I want to do with the next however many years of my life, it's all a pipe dream. I should just get real. And then I think, well, what am I supposed to do? Do I go back to the way things were? No, that's crazy talk. Why would I want to do that? And at that point, everything's fine. Like there's no, I think the big thing for me was that the idea of calling myself a woman, womanhood was such a huge concept, and I was thinking, well,
Sacred.
I can't be all that. And so the way I got comfortable with it was just by thinking of myself as a weird old lady. And which sounds disparate, like self-deprecating, but being a weird old lady is fantastic. It's the greatest thing. It's wonderfully liberating, and it allows me to, if I'm washing my hands in a ladies' convenience at a shopping mall, and some suburban Karen gives me a funny look, I can think, well, no, sod off. I'm a weird old lady.
I love that attitude.
Yeah. So, So related to that, your first experience of HRT actually kicking in and feeling like feeling psychological changes, feeling a difference in yourself. What was that like for you guys?
So I am one of the trans girls who had an immediate reaction, and it's complicated because how much of it is actually biochemical changes and how much of it is just the stress and anxiety of finally getting on these medications that you've been trying to get on for sometimes years. I felt very, very different very, very quickly in a matter of days. And every other thing that I have done has had a similar result where there's always more change to every step than I think there's going to be. I went into my orchiectomy thinking that it was just a convenience that I wouldn't have to take my antiandrogens anymore. And I walked out of there light as a bird. That's not how the phrase goes. but it was amazing. And I didn't really expect that. There is a whole lot of actual physiological stuff, and there's also just having dysphoria treated means that you no longer are experiencing dysphoria, which is a tremendous weight off your mind.
Yeah, I'm very similar to Miriam in the fact that when I started taking estrogen, it was within three to 5 days that I experienced a mental sort of clarity. And I can't explain whether or not that's psychosomatic or if it's real. I've heard this sort of story from a lot of people, especially as Miriam referred to them as our trans cohort. But I have struggled with depression for most of my life. And it wasn't like a crippling depression. It was just sort of a constant sadness. Like there was I always describe it as if there was like a black cloud that just kind of followed me around. And when I started taking estrogen, that cloud just went away. It was like I could see the sun for the first time in years. And I knew, like, that was how I knew that I had made the right decision, was that I had all of the sudden experienced life without that overwhelming, or not overwhelming, but just constant sense of sadness. And so that was the immediate response that my body gave me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I definitely felt something like that. I too went through the full menu of antidepressants. And in fact, when I first walked in, my psychologist a few years ago said that when I first walk into his office, he thought to himself, "Oh dear, this one's not long for the world." And I thought, well, thanks very much. You could have told me at the time. But yeah, I mean, looking like, unlike you guys, nobody who didn't know me at the time will ever see any of my before photographs. Not just because they're sort of personally painful for me, but it's also obvious that the person in that photograph is not in a good place, and it's just not nice seeing somebody like that. But yeah, I mean, I can't remember how long it took. Maybe weeks. After starting estrogen, I was just walking down the road and suddenly I felt the way that I would feel after walking out of a pub after three beers. Suddenly everything is three-dimensional and full colour. And Yeah, I started having all these firsts, going to a meeting and somebody who missed the previous week, having a conversation, getting her up to speed again, and thinking, oh my God, I'm talking to somebody, and it's like I'm in the room with her at the time. I'm not watching everything going on from a distance and awkwardly trying to remote control my every movement.
Right.
It's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. Not even start on the ability to actually empathize with people non-intellectually. It is just the most astonishing change.
Yeah, I'm no longer the monkey in my brain piloting the flesh mech. Such a wild feeling, because like I used to say that, but like jokingly. And then when I was no longer feeling that, I was like, oh, that I wasn't really joking, was I?
Mm.
Which is quite a real realization.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, somebody who helped me work out what was going on tremendously in those early years was Zinnia Jones, who writes a lot about depersonalization and derealization. Yeah. And a couple of years ago, she posted on the Fediverse saying, does anyone have any sort of experiences with alexithymia? And I thought, well, that's a new term for me. And I looked it up and I thought, damn you, woman, get out of my head. How do you know so much about me? Because alexithymia is that sensation of knowing that you have emotions but not knowing what they are.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah. Not having access to your own emotional state.
I have never struggled with the access to my emotional state. That's a concept that's a little bit foreign to me. I know it's really common among trans people, but I don't really have that. I've experienced a little bit different thing where like colors are more vibrant now. Like there's a much wider spectrum of colors. I've tried to explain that to people and they don't understand that there's just so much more color in the world than there was before.
Yeah, and that's physiological. That's your eyes just have more cones now than rods.
Yes, exactly. It's a thing, but I notice it. I'm aware of it. I'm like, I could never go back because there's just so much more beauty in the world than there was before. So I have always had a pretty good access to my emotions, but not that sort of vibrancy of the color in the world that I had previously. Mm.
Hmm. Okay. I quite understand if you don't if this is a difficult subject, but I as far as relationships go, I came at the project managing my transition from the perspective of this is a perfectly ordinary thing that some proportion of the population goes through. I'll just explain it to people and everything will be fine. And, the reaction I was hoping for was, oh, okay, fair enough, carry on. And, it did. I have to say I'm one of the very, very lucky ones, and I've never had an actual bad reaction from a friend or relative. But all the same, things have gone a bit weird in just about all of my relationships, sometimes in a good way, but sometimes in a slightly sad, oh, things are not going to be the same as they once were kind of way. Without upsetting yourselves or anything, how did you guys go?
Well, I'll do the soft version. Every relationship in my life is different now. And I got off easy. My wife has stuck with me. My family has been supportive. I didn't transition at work, but I have since found work that is hugely supportive. And yeah, everybody's been very, very supportive and helpful, but that doesn't mean that I haven't had a number of friends just kind of disappear on me. And I don't think that that is necessarily that you have a problem with trans people or something like that. My impression is that they just don't know how to relate to me now. And that's a them problem, and I'm perfectly happy letting them have their problem. But it is really weird.
It's interesting the way a lot of our relationships change, and they take on new forms, right? As we've moved through this, through our lives, the way that we have. I consider myself really fortunate because I had a good coming out at work. I basically had two coworkers out of 50 who were a little grumpy and they don't believe in gender ideology or whatever. And we had to have some pretty serious conversations around what that meant. But my kids all accepted me, and in fact, they started using new pronouns for me right away. I thought I was going to lose my mom and my sister, and I actually have better, closer relationships to them than I have ever had before. I lost a couple of friends who, like Miriam said, we didn't really have a confrontation. We just sort of drifted away as if that our relationship morphed. And I've developed newer, closer relationships with a group of women that I never would have imagined I would have had this relationship with. So transition has had its ups and downs. There's been some good parts and some bad parts. But overall, my life is immeasurably better than it was before.
I had the weird experience last year of catching up with two very old friends on two separate occasions, who I hadn't seen since before transition, and it was funny. I mean, one of them gave me exactly the reaction I'd always wanted, which was we just met up in a pub and carried on the conversation where it had last left off 5 years ago without missing a beat. And it was wonderful. And we did intend to go and get something to eat, but we were just sat there. We just sat there brain dumping at each other
That's
until
awesome.
closing time. And it was marvelous. But on the other hand, another old friend I caught up with last year, we went out to lunch, and although the conversation was exactly like the conversations we've always had ever since literally we were teenagers, I eventually noticed, why is he sitting so awkwardly in his chair? And why is he not looking me in the eye? That's weird. I mean, bless him, he's always been very supportive and so on, but it's a bit weird, and as I say, a bit sad.
It really is, because I think that people knew us before and they kind of are holding on to who they thought we were, which was just a mask. And now that we're living our lives as ourselves, I'm sad for the people that left my life because they are missing me at my best.
Yes, that is so true. I mean, my psychologist, bless him, who has his good days, is constantly talking about how much more confident and assertive and just settled on myself I seem to be. I'm a bit too close to see that myself, but like objectively thinking back, yes, there are things that I'm doing now that I could never have dreamed of doing before. It had to wait for, you know, going through the right puberty and growing.
And people have given me the same similar feedback, that they're stunned to see how assertive I am and how much that I advocate for myself when I never did before.
There is also, I'm going to be that bitch. There's also a phenomenon, we'll say, where you realize that your relationship with these people was really superficial, and you've done some work on yourself, and you've understood how you work and your emotions and your place in life and all of these things, and they haven't done that work, and they can't keep up anymore. And that is a really weird realization to have. And it's the phenomenon is very gendered. I have not lost any of the women in my life. I have only lost men.
Accurate, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the relationship for me that's gotten the weirdest is how close I've become to my mother,
right?
Which I never expected. Yeah. I mean, we like, at least myself and my parents have historically been amongst the most emotionally repressed people on the planet. And the degree to which my mother and I are able to say things to each other now that we would never have imagined saying to each other
It's amazing.
Nice.
And like there was a day, and there wasn't any like event or anything that day, but there was just a day where my mom figured out that, oh, I have a daughter now. and our relationship completely changed, because she was like, oh, I do daughter things with her. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And it's been amazing ever since.
Yeah, and I alluded to it earlier that my relationship with my mom and my sister, I never really had that. I got along with them, but it wasn't like close. And now my sister was like just so excited to have a baby sister. And she's like, we have this relationship that we never would have had before. And it's so much better and deeper and, I don't know, satisfying and fulfilling than any relationship I've ever had with any of my family members in the past. And I'm so grateful for that.
Okay, so trans community, that's something I never imagined being a part of. I just thought, well, 1 or 2 maybe percent of the population, statistically I'm unlikely to bump into that many trans people, and, you know, and it's not something I really thought I would be doing until I looked at the people I follow online, and easily over half of them were, you know, they're a very diverse crowd of middle-class, white, neurodivergent trans women with a background in IT. And I thought, well, yeah, okay, I may have been wrong about that. How do you find, do you find yourself a member of a, like, feeling like a member of a new community now?
So I have a complicated answer, because online I have acquired fantastic friendships with a number of trans people online. And we have our little cohort that is progressing through the rough shape of things, and we can commiserate and everything else. And that network is collapsing because a lot of us are finishing. And people drift away. And mostly they drift away to go live their full authentic lives, and that's wonderful. But I miss them. Mm. And some days I can feel myself drifting away and not posting so much and whatever else, because I don't need that support. I don't have the questions, and I am tired of giving the same answer that I have now been giving for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And that's how it is. That's how it works. So I have started being very intentional about making personal one-to-one connections with people in that cohort, making sure that I have it. Most of these people I know from Fediverse, so I make sure that I have their Signal and their Discord and everything else so that I can talk to them individually if one day they decide they're done with Fediverse, which has happened more than once. Mm. And I have, early in my transition, I was very adamant that I was going to be part of the trans community here in Winnipeg. We have this fabulous Rainbow Resource Center. They hold trans meetups. There are marches and protests and everything else all the time. And I went to all of it, and I got really burnt out on it pretty quickly. In about a year. Part of it is because all the other trans girls are a lot younger than me, and they're really loud. It was not comfortable for me to
you
be in the same.
You kids turn it down.
Yeah, exactly. So I kind of fell away from that, and I have like a handful of people that I still talk to, again, through Discord or Signal or whatever else, people that I, for whatever reason, got individual contacts for, because I don't go to the big events anymore.
I have a similar relationship with the younger group and with trans community. Like I somehow found myself being a trans elder on Fediverse, which is weird, but
it happens so quick.
It does. Like one day you're like, hey, how does this makeup look on me, and am I passing or whatever stupid question you're asking, and the next thing people are asking you for advice, and it's really weird. It's just a weird thing that just all of a sudden someone flips a switch, and I don't mind it online as much. But when I find when I hang out with other trans people in meet space, that it's exhausting. It's taxing in a way that I can't fully describe. I've always made sort of the joke that when you get a bunch of trans women together, all we do is talk about being trans women. We talk about our traumas. We talk about all of these things. And I think that's important at a certain stage in your transition. Yeah. But after a while, it just sort of starts to get exhausting. And I don't want to just live, and I don't want to mire myself and just live in that sort of trauma. I want to live my life. So what I've done, and Miriam's one of the people who is very close to, I'm very close with, that I've developed this relationship early on where I needed some very strong support when I was going through some tough times. And I developed a kind of a little network. I call them my shield maidens, of women who were there to support me and prop me up when I was going through some really tough times. And I'm hoping that we will continue to maintain those relationships and those Absolutely. Lines of communication. But I tend to shy away from the large scale trans things in town, which is kind of ironic. This coming up Trans Day of Visibility will be my first one out as myself, and I don't know if I'm going to participate just because, I don't know, I find it exhausting, which is a strange thing to say. Being trans is a detail about me, but it's not my entire identity, and I don't want it to be my entire identity. I want it to be a thing that I went through, and I'm living my life now.
Last year's Trans Day of Visibility, here in Melbourne, I went down to the rally and thought, oh well, this will be good. This will, you know, put a bit of a spring in my step, a bit of, you know, joyful defiance. And I didn't make it through the speeches, like. 2025 being what it was, what I needed to hear was something positive, but what I got and felt I had to sort of shield myself from a bit was a lot of rather harrowing speeches about personal trauma and things, which is very, very important and needs to be told by the people who need to tell it. But I just thought, I can't, you know, I'm not emotionally equipped to deal with this at the moment, and I had to leave, I suppose, like, brings us to the question of how do you feel about those occasions when you're pressed into service by people as being, you know, the local representative of the trans community, you know, feeling like you ought to be speaking for somebody who you don't really represent. Understand.
So there's two things that are very similar. There's being called upon as a representative of all transes everywhere, which is always bullshit. And there's also like when you are identified correctly or not as the trans elder in the room and somebody comes to you for help. And I mean, you get to opt out of either of those whenever you want. It's your choice, etc. I rarely do. I'm pretty comfortable being the public trans person. I am, and I have a mothering streak a mile wide. So somebody needs help, I'm going to mother them. But it can be kind of disorienting how quickly that role is foisted on you. And I think, unfortunately, it's just something that you kind of get used to and you practice, and either you adopt that as part of your identity or you refuse it.
I don't think that I could be like the voice of the community. I don't think that's a thing that I could do. But in my organization, I'm the only visible trans person. People have seen me go through transition. So I think that one of the things that I expect is for people to either reach out to me if they are, you know, questioning their gender and need some advice, and I'd be happy to help them with that. But I think that one of the things that I do that is just living my life, I think that becomes an example without necessarily being a spokeswoman for the community. I'm just living my life, and people can see that it is possible to be trans and just have a normal life.
Yeah, I quite understand. For my part, I being 6 foot tall and looking rather like Peter Cushing, I always accepted that I would be obviously trans, and I don't mind. And especially when, like, a friend is struggling to understand it and is asking me, like, well-intentioned but very, very naive questions, I'm happy to go into as much detail as they can take. It's, as I say, that's sort of in your personal life, but I think there is a temptation to feel that an obligation to do something, which sometimes you have to step back from just for the sake of keeping yourself in one piece. Just to change track entirely, what brings you guys, I should stop saying guys, what brings you girls joy? What is it that strange obsession or fixation or intellectual enthusiasm or activity that you do revives you and keeps you going?
This is part of my problem right now, is that I'm supposed to go live my life and I'm not entirely sure what cool shit I do. I write, I have written all my life. I suspect I will keep doing that, but it's one of those things where I'm seriously considering, like, do I want to continue pursuing that? Do I want to maybe do some other thing with my time? Which is weird to even contemplate. But I also don't want to just make assumptions, because that's how I got into this mess to begin with. I might go back to writing. I might not. I love cooking. I love taking care of a house. I'm presently working full time, so I don't get to do that as much as I used to. I really, really liked being a housewife and the stay-at-home parent. But I don't get to do that anymore. So I don't know what shape my life is going to be, and I don't know how I fit into that shape the things that I like. I used to play a lot of video games, and I can't anymore.
Same.
Don't care. I cannot generate the amount of, I don't know, like, I can't pay attention to learn a new game because it just doesn't hold my attention anymore. And I think that's a good thing, sort of, maybe. Because I used to play a lot of video games is a nice way of saying I used to disassociate using video games. The games that I liked were the, like, play one playthrough takes days at a time to set up your star empire and learn all of these ridiculously baroque mechanics of how they all interact and optimize everything. And oh man, I just do not have the, I cannot generate the emotional bandwidth to care about any of it anymore. I don't know what I like anymore. I know some things, I know bits and pieces, and I am going to figure out how to put them together into a life in the next couple months. Once I am not doing physical therapy 8 hours a day.
It's really interesting. That's a really interesting question, because recently I met a new person who asked me that. What do I do? What is, you know, what fills my life with joy? And I was like, I don't have an answer. I used to think I knew. And it's really strange to go just have your brain draw a complete blank when someone asks you what you do for fun. One of my friends recently on the Fediverse mentioned that, like, transition is like when you realize that you're trans, transition is the easy part. You realize that you built your entire life on that lie that you were the opposite gender. And everything that you think you liked, a lot of it relates back to who, to that gender that you thought you were. And and so you find yourself going, do I like that? Or did I just think I liked that because that was what I was supposed to do, or because I was disassociating, or whatever? And when I think of all the things that boy and me used to love, video games, playing guitar, getting my Jeep dirty, shooting my bow, those things are, I have to reevaluate every one of those, and I have to decide, do I love this, or do I think I love this because it was what I was supposed to be doing? And I found that some things have just fallen away. Video games is a great example. I haven't played a video game in almost 2 years, and I used to play them all the time. So I think that there's a future there, and it's kind of like, it's kind of like the end of the last episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, when Buffy turns around and sees a wide open road behind in front of her, like her future is wide open. I have no idea what I like to do. I'm trying to figure it out, and I'm going to find out as I go.
That's beautiful.
Isn't beautiful? It's terrifying to me.
Yeah, I think as...
It is terrifying. It is. I don't know who I am.
Yeah. But, I mean, I take your point. So many of these things we used to do were consolations. And
yeah,
we don't need consoling anymore. Yeah. Look, I do not want to take up any more of the time you've so generously given me. Speaking personally, one of my great joys in life is seeing, watching the passing parade of my friends online as they sort of blossom into their full potential. And I do have to say that you two have given me so much happiness over the last year or two. It makes my day. What else can I
more
say?
Praise, more praise. Yeah. There's a-
just keep it coming. Tell Dawn she's pretty.
Oh, look, I would, would be in danger of veering off into grotesquely inappropriate areas if I were to even begin to talk about how she's made me question my heterosexuality. It's frightening, the power, the awesome power that she has as goddess of the luminous horizon and lady of the celestial meridian. Yes, it is an awesome and beautiful thing watching both of you, and an honor and a privilege to be able to do it.
Thank you so
much. It was
much.
Really
we
nice talking to you today.
I have enjoyed myself so much. What else can I say to wrap up except thank you again.
Sounds good.
You're welcome.
I will see you online. And I... And I will give you a rough cut of the recording and
awesome. Thank you so much, Katie. This was lovely.
Okay. Right. Bye.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Yay.
Check done. Now you don't have to do anything.
I'm honored to be here. So thank you so much.